Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
This hour is sponsored by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Affordable implants, life-changing smiles.
The views and opinions of Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, and Mark Grody should not be taken too seriously,
especially when they give advice.
Do not take Marshall's analogies literally,
especially when it comes to Russell Dorsey.
The sports thoughts of Rahimi, Harris, and Grody may change at any time.
It's just sports.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Rahimi, Harris, and Grody, 10 to 2 on 670 The
debate about whether or not you want to see Aaron Rodgers face your team has gone on for a very long time. What you want to see, at least for me, is Aaron Rodgers on the field on Sunday and a changing of the guard take place.
This is more about emotional closure for a fan base. This fan base has been terrorized for so long by Aaron Rodgers. They just want it to end and end on a good note.
One more game to go. It's the Super Bowl for the Bears just about every year.
The thought of Aaron Rodgers, a broken old Aaron Rodgers, coming back to Soldier Field and walking off a winner is something that is unacceptable.
Do you think Bears fans want Aaron Rodgers to get hurt? Like, if he gets hurt, do you think Bears fans are like, hell yeah?
Folks, put your seatbelts on. This could be a bumpy ride.
I want him hurt. I want him to die painfully. He's a terrible human. That's from 815.
I want him to die painfully.
Boy, that escalated quickly.
He dies. He dies.
Maybe not to that extent.
847, the deep meatballs will cheer the injury. I think the majority just won't feel bad that he's injured.
Deep meatballs.
How deep do you have to be a deep meatball?
Bottom of the crock pot. Way bottom of that crock pot.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Mark Grody. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Hey, it's Friday.
What's up?
Grody just said hey in here, so we all just decided to say hey to each other. That also includes you.
Hey.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey.
What's up?
What's up, Twitch?
Yeah, twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. Hey, texters, 312-644-6767. Why are you scratching your neck over there, Marshall Harris?
You got any of those linebackers?
You got any more of those linebackers? Ooh. Yeah, that's where we're at with this, is we are preparing for a Bears and Steelers game on Sunday. This, is, of course, is a Football Friday. You're listening to a Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric Football Friday presented by your local Ford dealers and Pottawatomie Casino Hotel on the Rahimi Harris and Grody Show here on 670 The Score. Before we can even talk about Aaron Rodgers' availability today, I think about Aaron Rodgers' history, specifically catching Bears linebackers in compromised positions on the field and then taking advantage of it, usually with a strike of some sort that goes for a billion yards or a touchdown. So that said, what was I doing right as you were saying, hey? Looking up the Bears injury report, which is bleak. Tremaine Edmonds with the groin injury, DNP, did not practice on Wednesday and Thursday. TJ Edwards, still hand and hamstring, DNP Wednesday and Thursday. I'm beginning to wonder why he wasn't placed on IR. Then we also mentioned Travis Homer, Roschon Johnson, Noah Sewell, elbow, DNP, both days. Then you got guys like Joe Tooney, who I think when you have an NIR rest day, you become old Joe Tooney.
That's right.
Theo Benedet limited, Drew Dahlman limited, and Drew Dahlman being on that list doesn't excite me either. Kyler Gordon limited because that practice window opened up. Tyreek Stevenson limited, Darnell Wright limited. That's just part of what happens when you're on November 21st. But regardless, this is a Bears defensive unit that has seen its fair share of injuries, and they continue And Noah Sewell and Tremaine Edmonds had been doing so much with this team when it just came to filling in the gaps and trying to make it work. And we know that the tackles had really added up for Noah Sewell, for example. But no Tremaine Edmonds is a very concerning proposition on this Friday when we consider the Bears' chances for Sunday.
My thing is, I'm looking at this, and I think this takes a front seat and kind of knocks the Aaron Rodgers discussion to the passenger seat, maybe even the back seat, when you just look at how little they have at the linebacker core. If Edmonds and Edwards can't play, if Noah Sewell can't play, and you start going down the depth chart, I remember as soon as this injury report came out, we were talking about it. We were like, wait, hold up. Ruben Hippolyte? But who else? Oh, let me keep going. DeMarco Jackson? And that's when the reality hits.
Who?
Yeah. Like, oh, okay, at least he's familiar with Dennis Allen's system because he played for the Saints. I'm trying to take positives. But understanding what you said at the top of the show about Aaron Rodgers and what we know he could do as far as manipulation and looking for mismatches, how could they not pick on guys like DeMarco Jackson or Ruben Hippolyte if they have to line up?
No doubt about it. And I am staring right at one of their tight ends who's been very productive this year, and that's Pat Freiermuth. And you guys know me. I kind of have an irrational fear of tight ends. I'm always looking at the tight ends on the opposing teams because they'll burn you just out of nowhere. You could have your wide receivers, then, oh, there's the 30-yard pass to the tight end that is just soul-crushing. And we saw Aaron Rodgers do that for years with the Packers against the Bears. But
yeah, we did.
Yeah, we did. Freiermuth, 23 catches, 279 yards, 3 touchdowns. He does have a 68-yarder to his name. He has been pretty prominent in their offense relative to the position. So that's where I specifically begin to get scared. It's not like either of those guys, though, the guys that would fill in, Ruben Hippolyte and DeMarco Jackson, are incompetent linebackers. If they play, it's not going to be a joke. And look, Dennis Allen can compensate in other ways, bring creeping guys forward like he will do with Jaquan Brisker or anybody that is in the secondary right now. They start to move guys up, add extra men. I think that this just opens up a lot of creativity for Dennis Allen, which unfortunately for him, he's been forced to do for most of the season and has been okay at it, even though the numbers won't show it.
Yeah, that's the unfortunate part is, for example, Bears had to go in nickel the entire game against Minnesota. So if you were wondering where those creative blitzes were, unfortunately, because of personnel, which we saw similar to the beginning of the season, I think when Jalen and Kyler were both out then, he didn't get to do as much as he wanted. You know, and Jaquan Brisker basically said, unlock me or something along those lines.
Unlock me!
And that's only when they had a healthier secondary did you really see the Bears be able to take that risk and do something that I think has become a real signature of Dennis Allen's defense with the Bears is those creative safety corner blitzes, things like that.
How are we doing, C.J. Gardner-Johnson?
Yeah, I mean, but I don't, you know, and I don't necessarily know that we're going to see as much of those given the personnel situation here. And think about, I've mentioned it before, you know, reminding you that Dyer Odangbo up front is still lost to the run defense, for example. Like, this is a group that has really been hurt. When you consider who this team could have been healthy, and I know you're not supposed to do that, but we can. And what they're dealing with now, this is another blow. In fact, Brad Biggs in his article this morning with the Chicago Tribune points
Biggs out,
Edmonds played all 55 snaps Sunday in the 1917 victory in Minnesota before appearing on Wednesday's injury report with a groin injury. He appeared to come up a little gimpy covering Vikings tight end TJ Hawkinson in the flat on an incomplete pass with 2:03 remaining. There were only 6 more defensive snaps. One source said there's concern it's a multi-week injury.
What?
That does not please you.
Displeasing, non-gratifying.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the opposite of that. But given how durable Edmonds has been in his career, he became the youngest player in NFL history to reach 100 career games last season at 26. A quick return also would not be surprising. But Edmonds, as Biggs points out, leads the team with 89 tackles. That's 36 more than the next closest defender, who is Kevin Byard, third, and has 4 interceptions and 9 pass breakups. He has been one of the stars of this defense, especially when you consider the people who we needed to see step up.
I think the biggest thing for me is not just that he's been so integral and important to everything they've done. It's one thing if you have
okay, the backup is going to be in. That would have been Noah Sewell, but he had been playing for TJ Edwards. And now you're going further and further down the depth chart. Understand this about DeMarco Jackson and Ruben Hippolyte. They have combined for 50 snaps this season. You got to remember, Ruben Hippolyte didn't even play in the month of October, healthy scratch.
The month of October is a healthy scratch, and that's a fourth-round pick, by the way.
Yeah, I'm saying that's problematic to understand what you're going to be asking these two guys to do. And I know that Dennis Allen somehow, some way, has gotten his defense to be to the point where they can use the takeaways as the way that they counter what they have as far as lack of actually being able to stop someone. It's been very clear. We take the ball away, and we get off the field on third down. The problem is, with a lot of these games that they've played, Mark, third down hasn't been an issue because teams are getting first downs on first and second down.
Are you kidding? How many times, how many weeks in a row have we said that the best stop they get is a turnover?
Oh, that's been the only way to stop opponents most weeks. That's how they've been able to stay in these games. There's probably, what, four of their seven wins, you say, if they don't win the turnover battle, that they get blown out, but it's decisively advantage other team.
Turnovers could be a big deal for, they're always a big deal, for both teams in this game. Do you guys realize that the Bears have defense has forced 22 turnovers? The Steelers defense, there are some similarities. They have 18 turnovers this year. I was on 97 won the game in Pittsburgh the other night.
Yinz, you were on the game in Pittsburgh?
Yeah. Wait, what?
Yinz is a Pittsburgh saying. It's like y'all, basically.
Yeah, Yinz. Yeah, Yinz was on.
Did they offer you French fries on your sandwich?
No, they didn't, but that sounds...
That Pramati brothers can hit the spot every now and then.
Hey, man.
They'll put them on a salad and everything.
I know Pittsburgh is famous for that, but I lived in a little city called Springfield, Illinois, which happens to be the capital of this fine state, which had a little thing called the Horseshoe, which was meat and French fries, essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On
a bun, yeah.
Meat?
Isn't it like a, it's a gravy situation,
there's
too.
There's a gravy situation.
It's like a poutine almost.
Yeah, it was like every bar in Springfield had their own version of the Horseshoe, which was just absolutely deluxe.
That's the name of the sandwich, the Horseshoe?
The Horseshoe, deluxe and okay. Delicious. I don't remember the history. Somebody from Springfield listening might be able to give the history of that, or maybe Marshall Harris, who's great at looking stuff up on this show. But both teams, he is, man. You know, he comes up with stats fast.
It's
you know
like
he
players
does.
Who are good at dinner.
That's why he's our glue guy, man. But they also, like, so when I was talking to the gentleman in Pittsburgh, I was talking about the Bears and saying, can a team, we all know that you can't depend on turnovers year to year. And he interrupted me and he goes, oh, you mean like the Steelers this year? And I was like, oh my goodness, the Bears and Steelers both don't have great numbers defensively, but they force turnovers.
Steelers are pretty good when it comes to sacks, though.
Well, all the sacks are there, yeah. But if I may, Layla, they are 28th in the Steelers' defense, 28th in total yards per game, 368.1, 32nd against the pass, 261.
Wait, 32nd, that's last place,
that's
right?
That's last place.
Okay. You in last place.
13th against the rush, so that's pretty good. And then 16th in points allowed per game, that's fine, 23.2. But to your point, TJ Watt, Nick Herbig, both with 6+ sacks. Alex Highsmith, who is, I believe, going to play, he had an ankle injury, 5.5 sacks. Their nose tackle, Keanu Benton, 4.5 sacks. And then he always got Patrick Queen running around tackling everybody. So there are players on that team, and you are correct. They remind me a little bit of the Giants in terms of the sturdiness of their defensive line, if not the rest of the numbers that exist on their defense. So it's going to be interesting to watch both defenses this weekend.
Well, I think the biggest thing specifically when you talk about the takeaways is understand this. The Bears take care of the ball better than any team not named the Philadelphia Eagles.
That's a great point.
They've only turned it over 6 times. Meanwhile, the Pittsburgh Steelers, they turn it over 10. Less as much as the takeaways themselves, but that turnover differential, which the Bears are heads and just like above.
Head and shoulders. Shoulders was the word you're looking for.
Yeah, but yeah. No, I'm saying like it's not that. It's head, shoulders, and torso.
Oh, and torso.
The rest
Robbie?
Of the
class. Knees and toes. Yeah.
Knees and toes and
plus,
torso.
Plus 16. The next closest team is, I don't know if y'all saw the Houston Texans last night.
My God.
They're plus 10. And then the Steelers are plus 8, which is like a modest, that's not even one per game. Plus 16 over 10 games. 1.6 per game as far as the plus. That to me, that's where they can win this game, especially if Aaron Rodgers does not suit up. I'm not certain that Aaron Rodgers is going to play tomorrow.
Well, Lurs, if you will, is another nickname for the Steelers.
Yes.
They do have 18 total takeaways. You know, that differential does work against them in a way because it lets you know that offensively they can turn the ball over. That's a great thing for the Bears because if there is a defense where I think you can say they are all ball hawks, it is definitely the Bears. Our segment here on Raheem Harrison Grody is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today as we try to figure out who's even available on this Bears defense, especially when it comes to the linebacking core. If there was ever a time for Ruben Hippolyte to shine, I mean, this is it. And again, you know, for everybody who says, oh, third round picks don't matter, fourth round picks don't matter, Ruben Hippolyte was not only a bold fourth round choice by the Bears, but even Dane Brugler and the Beast had him as being an undrafted free agent. So if there was ever bulletin board material for Ruben Hippolyte, now is the time. And if the Bears want to show off that speed that they talk about that he has, this is it. This is the time to figure that out and make it scheme so that way it's possible. All of this could be eased, again, by a better pass rush that's more aggressive.
Oh, you're asking for miracles now.
But I know better than to ask for everything.
And it's going to be harder this week because Aaron Rodgers gets rid of the ball as fast as he does. So that will take away some of what, like Dennis said, we know he likes to blitz from unique spots on the field. That's going to be difficult to do. I mean, getting to him is a difficult task.
I think the number one difficult thing is stopping the run because if you don't have the linebackers have been the reason why the Bears at times have looked so good against the run. And then when they're not all available, they've looked so bad against the run.
Well, the good news is that the Steelers, unlike past teams, not exactly a running force this year. They're not bad, and of course the Bears have been bad. So
you don't think Mike Tomlin can redirect?
Oh no, I think he can. Like I think it's a great point you're bringing up. I'm just bringing up the idea that like Jaylen Warren and the running game for the Steelers has not been what Steelers offenses usually are. It's like what I was talking about, and you guys were getting so scared and so mad at me for talking about DK Metcalf.
Scared and mad.
You guys, don't be afraid. Do not be afraid of DK Metcalf just because he's had a sad season.
It's okay. More about just respecting his established skill set. Also, I'm sorry that I laughed earlier, but it's because 81847 said Ryan Poles said he was going to shock the world with the Hippolyte pick.
Did he really?
No. It's just funny.
But as you said, Layla, he's fast. Because that's it. That's all they can tell
us. It was
us.
A very Dennis Allen, he can run.
He can run.
And you know how Dennis Allen says run? He can run. And like when it starts to stretch out to a syllable and a half a little bit, that's how you know Dennis Allen really likes his speed. I recognize that accent. I am that accent. So when I hear it, I know exactly what the case is. And for everybody on our text line, 312-644-6767, who said, the Bears offense needs touchdowns here, man, you are correct. The best antidote for that is, once you get in the red zone, find the end zone.
Oh, is that how it works?
Yeah, okay. Well, it should be how it works. But as we know, you know, the Bears only were able to get one TD. This is Raheem Harrison Grody on 670, the score. That TD last week is what I'm talking about.
Delish.
You heard Mark Grody. You heard Marshall Harris. I'm Layla Raheemi. Our producers, Ray Diaz, Robbie Triano, Brandon Fryer helps us out as well. As I mentioned, you can contact us on our phone, the number I already gave, but in case you need it again, 312-644-6767. And we are also on YouTube, 670 The Score, and Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. Our Twitch mob is already having fun. I see a lot of good emotes. I'm pretty sure I see a Chewbacca from Star Wars, if you will. So thanks again for joining us on this Football Friday. We are happy to do it with you from The Score's Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. We're expecting some breaking news because it's injury report day. And when that happens, The Score has breaking news brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. Coming up next, Andrew Filippone will get the news from Pittsburgh and check in on a really unfortunate football bet. You won't want to miss that. That's next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Mark Grody, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Would Parkins be willing to get his nipples pierced if Rodgers beats the Bears?
No. Just because I'm friends with Andrew Filippone doesn't mean I do the same things that he does. I don't need to do that type of thing anymore, Marshall.
He's like, I made it. I don't need to do that crap anymore. Yeah. I got you, Danny. I got you.
I'm now respectable. I dress up like a king and make NFL gambling picks on national television.
I mean,
don't forget about the posters that they have too, that they color in with marker on First Things First. That's Danny Parkins, Marshall Harris. This is Rahimi, Grody, and Harris. And the reason that we are talking about Andrew Filippone and that very unfortunate result of a bet is because he now joins us on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. Andrew Filippone is at the Pony with an I Express on X. He is the co-host of the PM team with Pony and Mueller on 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. And he also does host First in Pod. Danny and him used to do it together. It is now with Patrick Peterson. He also joins us on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. Andrew, thanks for joining us today.
You know, Danny is such a fraud.
I love it.
Their whole show really has lost its credibility. I guess Nick Wright said that if the Broncos beat the Chiefs, he would shave his head. Again, probably inspired by my bet and the fact that we raised thousands of dollars for breast cancer research by me getting my nipples pierced. And so he said this, and then the Chiefs lost. And he just put his hair into a ponytail. So I don't have any respect for Danny anymore. And his answer and the way he tried to, like, explain it or excuse his own lack of confidence in what's going to happen on Sunday, I think speaks volumes about the type of person he's become since leaving the sport to do TV.
Sing it, man. Sing it. We have been trying to express those same words and didn't really know how to put it. I'll say on the other side, you, sir, do have credibility on this radio station because I believe it was you who came on here when Chase Claypool was acquired and said, guys, you may not want Chase Claypool on your team. And we didn't want to believe it. We didn't want to believe it. But you got that one right, sir.
Yeah, that was an easy one. I'm not really even going to pat myself on the back that hard for that prediction because that was blatantly obvious. A guy that really thought effort was not a requirement and a mandated thing, a mandatory thing. And, yeah, I mean, the Steelers got Joey Porter Jr. out of that deal, the first pick in the second round. And he has played a lot better since the Steelers moved Jalen Ramsey to free safety. And Jalen Ramsey is going to play in this game, even though he punched Jamar Chase in the face last weekend. And we know he did that because Chase decided to spit on him, which is about the most disrespectful thing you can do to a human being.
We're talking to Andrew Filippone. Andrew used to be Danny's co-host, Danny Parkins' co-host on First in Pod. He is of the PM team with Pony and Mueller on 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. I just need you to know that because we mentioned the bet and you having to get your nipples pierced, that our Twitch chat is debating as to whether or not they want to see them. So you're a hot commodity and people care. They also wanted to recommend that you can't take those piercings out for a while because everybody was concerned you'd subject yourself to unnecessary infection. So I just need you to know that people in Chicago did care about this a lot when it happened.
Yeah. Well, the piercings are out. Some people speculated, like Big Cat from Barstool, that I made the bet only because I wanted to get my nipples pierced and I had some kind of weird kink or fetish. And that wasn't true. The Friday after it happened, so 2 days later, my next door neighbor is a doctor, and she came over and sterilized everything and professionally took them out for me. So I still have them. Some people want me to actually auction off the piercings.
What?
Very bizarre and weird that there's a market for, you know, piercings that were inside my nipples. Other people wanted me to keep them through like the Christmas season and maybe make them more festive. So I do not recommend it to anybody, by the way. If you're like on the fence, do I want to get my nipples pierced? Take it from a man who actually did it and went through with it. It was on the probably the top three or top five most painful things I've ever done in my entire life.
Wait, like festive, like what, like Christmas lights or something? What are we doing here?
Like jingle bells. Yeah, that was brought up. That was maybe like a, maybe one that had maybe some kind of like Christmas, like Santa hat flair on the end of it. Yeah.
That sounds entertaining and all, Andrew. I got to ask you, that all came about because you thought the Steelers were going to win a game. How do you feel about this week's game? I'm just curious. Will Aaron Rodgers play, in your opinion, and will the Steelers get a win at Soldier Field?
Well, number one, as far as Rodgers goes, I think he'd have to get hit by a bus to not play in the game. Just, I think, validated and confirmed for me what I believe, that he circled this date on the calendar when he signed with the Steelers. I think he probably, believe it or not, was looking forward to this game even more than the Packers game, because he said before that one that it wasn't as emotional because he wasn't going back to Lambeau. It was here. And he waxed poetic about the whole rivalry with the Bears and Chicago being a great sports town. Obviously, we know it is. And we know how much he delights and takes joy in beating Chicago and lording over them. So he's going to play. He wore a brace in practice yesterday. He did limited work. He took snaps out of the shotgun. He threw the ball. I think he'll do a few team activities today, and then I think he'll give Tomlin the thumbs up, and Mike's not going to tell him no. He'll play. And then as far as the game prediction goes, I really like the Bears.
Really?
The Bears are what Mike Tomlin wants his football team to be. The Bears win the turnover battle every week. The Bears take the ball away. The Bears don't give the ball away. The Bears run the ball pretty much at will on people. The Bears have an offensive line now that allows for the quarterback to make plays and make smarter decisions with the football and not get sacked as many times. So Mike Tomlin was pretty effusive, and he's not usually a guy who gives a lot of praise towards young quarterbacks. He really only gave Drake May credit for being a running quarterback before the Steelers played the Patriots early this season. And you could tell when he talked about Caleb Williams that he was impressed by the coaching that he's getting this year, but also by the evolution that we've seen him take fewer sacks and also not turn the ball over as much in 2025.
I think it's interesting that you said that in some ways the Bears are what the Steelers want to be, because one of the things that we wrestle with here is quite simply, and this is going to sound weird with a team that's 7-3, are the Bears good? Because they've had so many late comebacks. They've had, as you said, a lot of takeaways, which, and there is an element of luck that comes with it. If you look at some of the actual defensive numbers, the Bears haven't been particularly good. My question to you is, at 6-4, are the Steelers good? Like, where do you think they are heading? What is the conversation with them? Are they on the right pace here, or are they pretenders?
Well, I mean, just to help you guys out for a second, like, that conversation that you are likely having there in Chicago is what we've had in Pittsburgh for almost a decade. I mean, the Steelers are this kind of team every year. Negative point differential, positive turnover differential, winning record, one score wins. I mean, all these things that, you know, make you think they're not sustainable. And then they ultimately aren't, because this team, when they make the playoffs, gets blown out and is non-competitive in those games every year. And the Steelers haven't won a playoff game since 2016, which is the longest drought since Chuck Knoll was hired back in 1968. So are the Steelers right now good? No. I mean, they're an average football team. I would say their defense right now is better than the stats suggest, since Ramsey moved to safety. he's really, and Kyle Duggar came over in a trade from New England too for pennies on the dollar, and he's given them help in the run game. He hasn't gotten really exposed as a pass defender at all. I think that really what they did was they simplified their defense. And the initial plan was we're going to have Jalen Ramsey play everywhere like Troy Polamalu did. And I think that play to play with so many new guys, so many moving parts, led to so many communication failures and coverage breakdowns. They've been better since they've done that. So defensively better than their stats. And then offensively, they're worse than their stats. Aaron Rodgers really has not played a good game since they lost to the Bengals on Thursday night. They beat the Colts because they forced six turnovers. Mm-hmm. I would not give Aaron Rodgers particularly high marks for that game. And really, they don't run the ball at all. They're near the bottom of the league in every rushing stat. And if you take away DK Metcalf, which teams have done lately, there's really nobody else in this offense that keeps you up at night except maybe Darnell Washington. So the Steelers, you add it up, the Steelers are an average team in an AFC that looks pretty average right now. So there's really not a team that's running away with it, which probably makes me feel like the Steelers have a better chance this year than they have in years past.
With all of that said, and especially the part where, and I guess that's probably surprising for Bears fans to hear that, was it the Steelers have not won a playoff game since 2016? Was that accurate, Andrew?
Yes.
So 2016, yeah. And as you said, they're always good. I know that you've been critical of Mike Tomlin through the years. Where do you stand with Mike Tomlin right now?
Well, the Bears, and ended up being a great thing for them, that Art Rooney allegedly hung up the phone when Chicago called and at least asked if Mike Tomlin was available, because Ben Johnson is what you want in a coach in 2025. And I think Mike Tomlin is more of what you would want in a coach in 2005. Mm. Mike Tomlin is closer to Lovie Smith, in my opinion, than he is Ben Johnson in today's NFL. You know, you watch last night's game, for example, so many scoring drives happened because teams went for it on fourth down. Tomlin's fourth down decision making over the last 5 years is the most conservative in the NFL, which is weird because when he had Ben Roethlisberger, he was the first coach after a touchdown was scored, he would go for two to try to get eight instead of seven. He was aggressive. He's lost that. He's become very timid. He's become very conservative, I think, in part because he doesn't have a franchise quarterback anymore, but he wants to win with defense. He wants to win with ball control. He wants to win every game 17-14. He has not made good coordinator hires. His offensive coordinator hires before Arthur Smith, a guy, Matt Canada, who's completely out of football. And before that was somebody named Randy Fichtner, who was friends with Ben Roethlisberger and Tomlin had on his worked with in college. And he used to sleep on the guy's couch when he was in his 20s. So he's really done a poor job of surrounding himself with smart people. And that's reflected, I think, in the results we've seen, where this has not been, even defensively, they've got $160 million spent on defensive players, more than any team in the NFL. And right now, I believe they're 16th in scoring defense. They're getting average results. So my opinion is you don't just keep a coach because that's your thing and you've had stability and continuity for so long. I get it. You don't want to become the Browns or the Jets, but I think 18 years on the job is too much for just about any coach. And I do think the Steelers could use a breath of fresh air here soon in a new perspective.
That's Andrew Filippone. We appreciate having him on and updating us on that unfortunate nipple piercing bet that did raise a lot of money for breast cancer research. Talking, of course, about the Pittsburgh Steelers. If you recognize his voice, it's because he does First in Pod with Patrick Peterson, used to with Danny Parkins, and he's part of the PM team with Podium Mueller on 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. Andrew, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks, Andrew.
You bet, guys. Be good. See ya.
Be well. Glad you're okay, Andrew. Coming up next here on Raheemy Harris and Grody on 670 The Score. This is also a bit of a historic matchup when you consider the history of these two franchises and the Bears and the Steelers. And I think we have to do an impromptu segment in honor of the grobber called I Was There, Mark.
I am pro that. You know that. So, and I was there. I was there. I'll just say this. I was there the only time the Steelers beat the Bears at Soldier Field? I say that weirdly because that's what the record says, and that just blows my mind.
Yeah, and when you consider the history that we just talked about with Andrew, too, it is pretty surprising, especially in the middle part of the 2000s decade. So we will go back in time with Mark. I was there next on 670.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
The score.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Mark Grody, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We're tied at 34. We're going to overtime. After O'Donnell and Pittsburgh drive inside the 10, Norm Johnson, it's good. The Steelers are off the schneid in the Windy City. And the Steelers are alone atop the AFC Central with the lone winning record. They are 5-4, and the Steelers beat the Bears 37-34. The Bears remain on top of the NFC North.
You know what's amazing? I heard that highlight music last night on ESPN for the Bills and the Texans game. Gotta love it. Chris Berman, of course, that from ESPN. This is Rahimi Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. And yes, let's take you back to 1995. Unfortunately, that's now 30 years ago, which I don't love saying. The Steelers improved to 5-4 and played in what Marshall and I laughed at, the AFC Central.
The good old days when each conference had just three old divisions to figure it out.
You guys want to feel old, though? That's when I was born, 1995.
Why don't you go work somewhere else?
You know what? I just might. You know,
why don't you? You know what? I'm giving you a month to get the hell out of here, pal.
Wow. That escalated very quickly.
Go back to Detroit. Go to New York for all I care. Go be one of those people. I don't care. Is that mean? Sorry. I love you, Robbie. I hope you're here for lots of years. I really don't
think you love him based on the words that you just said.
He's the only one that writes stuff down for me. So I have to respect that at the end of the day.
The Steelers won 37-34, and I still feel bad for Robbie and our inevitable upcoming trip to the Chris Kindle Market where he's going to have to write stuff down wearing a Santa hat with giant mittens on. But we'll get to that at another time.
I still love that. I really do.
Also, do you remember when the Bears were in the black and blue division?
Hell yeah.
And it sounded so like menacing, and you had to really play with the elements, as we know. Like, that was always one of my favorite descriptions of the Bears division at the time.
Of course.
Was like, oh, they're in that black and blue division.
NFL has changed. There's not so much black and blue anymore.
Amazingly, as I look at the box score from this game, something that sticks out that you didn't see back then very often.
Yeah.
Neil O'Donnell was 34 of 52, which is an ungodly amount of attempts today. It's an insane amount of attempts in 1995 for two touchdowns, two interceptions. He had 341 yards, which is also wild to think about then.
Yeah.
That was some real air raid type of numbers back then. Eric Kramer with a more indicative line of the time. 15 of 28, three touchdowns, three interceptions, and 228 yards. But unfortunately, the Steelers came away with that win at Soldier Field.
Yeah, I got picked three times. So it's pretty amazing when you look at the all-time series, and obviously these two teams don't meet a lot because they're in different conferences, so I suppose it makes sense. But these are two historic teams, so it is still weird for me to see that the Bears lead the series 22-8-1 overall. The Bears are 14-1 at home against the Steelers all-time. And so it does add up to this. The Steelers' record against the Bears is the franchise's worst against any NFL team still in existence. And as you just started to mention, Leyland, give some of the numbers from that 1995 game at Soldier Field, the one and only time the Steelers won at Soldier Field. That was November 5th. I happened to be there. I was there.
I was there.
As I was at a lot of Bears games. Sitting there in the south end zone, watching this game unfold and getting very angry with the terrible towels around me. I probably, you know, probably had 7 to 10 old styles that day. Maybe a little bit of stuff in the parking lot beforehand as
How
well.
How old were you?
I was college age. So
okay. Brody, it was 30 years ago. That's a significant amount of time. Well, and you're not old.
We see where things went with me with drinking.
Were you legal?
So. I was legal, yes.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I was legal. But the way it works is, yeah, you go there before the game, tailgating, obviously. You know, you might pull and tug a little bit from a bottle. You might have a couple beers, and then you go and you buy some more beers. And then after the game. So anyway, years later, I became an alcoholic. But anyway.
Ding, ding.
But anyway, I do remember very specifically being so angry walking out of that game because of Steelers fans with their towels. And I was passively aggressively walking out with my other thug Bears fan friends. And I am
thug?
Yeah, my friends were all a bunch of thugs. And so we're walking out of there. I'm passively aggressively just sort of like looking down and going, like making fun of the terrible towels and saying, "Oh, get your stupid towels out of here." So that is my like memory of the Steelers being at Soldier Field in 1995. Some of the names, ready? The Bears defense, Barry Minter had a big game. John Theory, well overdrafted by the Bears. Marty Carter, Jeremy Lincoln, Jim Flanagan, Donald Wolford was on that team. Alonzo Spellman was on that team.
Oh, man.
How about that? On the Pittsburgh side, LaVon Kirkland, badass. Greg Lloyd, Kevin Green, as you mentioned, Layla, Neil O'Donnell running the show there.
I'm watching Greg Lloyd's the video of the 52-yard interception right now. Carnell Lake was coming off the corner on the blitz.
Oh, Carnell Lake. Oh, man.
It's good to have fun with names.
How about a Yancey Thigpen, Pat? Yancey Thigpen was a receiver who had 108 yards that day. Jeff Graham, the great Jeff Graham, led the Bears in receiving on that day in 1995. 5 catches for 111 yards. He and Curtis Conway were a runaway duo that year receiver-wise for the Bears throwing from Eric Kramer. So I was extra mad because the Bears were actually good. I actually had a good quarterback that year in 95.
What's upsetting about that is this is back in the old school luck or die trying coin flip. You either win or you lose, and you lose. Usually you lose
in
if you
OT.
Don't win the coin flip in OT.
Right.
The Bears got the ball and couldn't do anything. And then Pittsburgh got the ball. And then the fact that there were multiple possessions, like three different possessions in overtime, or excuse me, 2 different possessions in overtime is hilarious. But you got to win when you get the ball in overtime. Like, do you remember when they won the coin flip?
The sinking feeling when you lost the coin toss.
And as I recall, did anybody ever, like, the strategy was to always take heads, wasn't it?
Oh, I don't remember that.
I feel like that was always like the recommended.
Tails never fails, yo.
Really?
Yeah. That's what I go with in life. But you might be right about the NFL. I don't know. Maybe it was heads was the thing.
The video is great, too, because you just forget how slowly people had to move with that behemoth amount of shoulder pads they had to wear. And, like, the mesh jersey, you know, the midriff. And, like, that's before dry fit, kids.
What happened to the shoulder pads? How did we get to
where
we are now?
Do you remember the Brian Cox, like, neck support?
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't a neck roll. It was, like, a neck, like, block or something. I don't even know what you call that. A plank? It was a plank.
That's how you knew a linebacker was a linebacker when he had all that.
Yeah. And especially the short jerseys when they were proud of their abs, too. It was a different time.
Back when they all wore numbers in the 50s. Now we got 2s and 3s and 6s running around in the defense.
It's a little tougher now to figure out who's doing
it. Do you remember when that was a big brouhaha? When it was like, well, how are we going to know who's catching the ball with these T numbers out here?
I mean, seriously. Like, Luther Burden didn't even want to be Muhsin Muhammad or Tom Waddle with number 87. He's like, get this old people 80s receiver. Come on.
Yeah, the NFL has the video. It's on the Steelers website, and it's worth a watch if you can stomach it. But Greg Lloyd was an absolute beast that year. That I recall, because the Steelers went to the Super Bowl that season.
What does this texter mean?
What's up?
Grody is so full of bleep. What have I said in the last...
Finally, someone's speaking up about it.
Sometimes I am, but I don't think I've been full of bleep in the last few minutes, have I?
That's Robbie Triano's biggest fan right there.
You know, so
that's I actually texted him. That was me.
I can accept it when I'm full of bleep, but I think I'm full of information is
sometimes,
what I'm full of.
Sometimes texters are reacting real time, and the problem is we don't know at what point you're hearing this
That's
show.
A good point. That's
you know,
a great point.
We don't know which sentence you're reacting to. Sometimes we need more words.
Clarify for me, 312, and then I shall retort.
All right, I'll text back.
We want you to keep listening, by the way, for your chance to win two tickets to Spiegel & Holmes' live broadcast from 2 to 6 p.m. on December 4th at the Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois Performance Stage with the special guest, Matt Forte. Forte will also host a signing for his new book, Stay in the Game, Making the Most of Every Season. Coming up next, we love to take you inside the locker room. And you know how I feel about the Bears secondary. I think they seem like the most fun bunch position group of the Bears. I'm playing favorites, but I don't know. It's going to be hard to beat for me. So guess what old Mark Grody did?
Old Mark Grody.
Not young Mark Grody. No. I want to emphasize that.
Well, it doesn't mean old. Never mind.
Old, you know.
OL apostrophe.
Right.
If you're of the age or above where it requires rest and you can't be on the practice schedule or the injury report because you're NIR, then you are now old. Either people are just a baby or they're old. So.
It's football's answer to the DMP old of basketball.
It is indeed. So Mark Grody talked to the Bears secondary because, I don't know, we got a couple potential comebacks in the mix. We got a group that's trying to figure out how to stop Aaron Rodgers. There's a lot to examine against the Steelers team. Bears. So inside a chatty secondary, next with Mark Grody on Raheemy Harrison Grody on the Score.
Ding, ding.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.